Good morning.
It was about 6 months ago that I gave a homily on religious freedom. And I got a call that Sunday. Somebody left a message, anonymous, didn't tell me who they were. They blocked their caller ID, so I couldn't tell. And they said that they came to church to hear about Jesus, not politics. Reminds me of a story. There was a pastor once who received a letter one Sunday after a homily. It simply had four letters on the piece of paper. It read, "Fool." And so the next Sunday, he got up and showed the parish the letter, and he told them, "I have known many an instance of a man writing a letter and forgetting to sign his name, but this is the only instance where I've ever known a man to sign his name and forget to write the letter." Brothers and sisters, we are similarly fools if we think that politics and religion should be kept separate. This nation was founded on a freedom of religion, not freedom from religion. And as human beings, we are integrated human beings, body, soul, mind, spirit, public life, private life. And you cannot separate them all out. Do politics belong in the church? Your bishops have this to say. "The church's obligation to participate in shaping the moral character of society is a requirement of our faith, a part of the mission given to us by Jesus Christ." In other words, to say that we shouldn't talk about politics in the church or that our faith should not inform our politics is to say that we should not carry out the mission of Jesus Christ. We have a unique opportunity in this country to do just that. They go on to say, "As people of both faith and reason, Catholics are called to bring truth to political life and to practice Christ's commandment to love one another." Pope Benedict XVI says that charity must animate the entire lives of the lay faithful and therefore also their political activity. Brothers and sisters, since the early days of the church, one of the biggest errors or heresies in the church is to say that we should separate or compartmentalize the different aspects of who we are as human beings. To say, "I've got my spiritual life over here, my political life over here, my physical well-being over here, and my mental well-being over here." God made you to be an integrated human being, body, mind, soul, and spirit. He made you to be both a private person and a public person. And he made us a society founded on the family, and one where our vote counts. Again, a great opportunity in this country. But it's not about the church so much being involved in politics. If it's politics for the sake of politics, you're absolutely right. The church should keep its mouth shut. And if the church is just another voice out there with another opinion, then yeah, we should keep our mouth shut. But the bishops say that as Catholics, we should be guided more by moral convictions than by an attachment to a political party or an interest group. In other words, guys, this personal moral conviction, our conscience, should be what's guiding us in how we vote and go about our political lives. The question being asked is not, what political party you belong to or what PAC you follow or what voting guide you use. The question should be asked, how does your identity as a Catholic Christian influence your politics? Brothers and sisters, Jesus himself said that we are supposed to be salt and light to the earth. We're supposed to make it better. And again, we have that opportunity in this country, a great blessing. So how can we be salt and light to the world via this political process without just the church being another voice in the mix? You see, as Catholics, we're called to vote with our conscience, not our opinion, and I think that's the key. Conscience is defined as a judgment of reason whereby the human person recognizes the moral quality of a concrete act. And every person is obligated to follow faithfully what he or she knows to be just and right. One of the criticisms of Catholics is that we are one-issue voters, that we vote pro-life and that's it, that we really don't look into the other issues. And that should never be the case. Brothers and sisters, you should study the issues, you should know them well, you should weigh the issues. And if the church is simply another voice out there with another opinion on the issues, then yeah, that's a fair argument. We're one-issue voters. And if I'm just another person with another opinion, then I'm a one-issue voter. But our bishops say that, quote, "As Catholics, we're not single-issue voters. A candidate's position on a single issue is not sufficient to guarantee a voter's support." But this is the key. They say, "Yet a candidate's position on a single issue that involves an intrinsic evil such as support of legal abortion, may legitimately lead a voter to disqualify a candidate. You see, if I'm just voting with another opinion, if I'm weighing a bunch of opinions and ideals out there, and then I single out pro-life issues, then yeah, I'm a single-issue voter. But if I recognize that there are certain hierarchies of issues, that there are certain intrinsic evils versus other evils in the world, then that's not one-issue voting, that's voting with one's conscience, which is what we're called to do as Christians. An intrinsic evil is defined as something that is always and everywhere bad, and nothing can make it good. Joblessness, you guys, is evil. Homelessness is evil. Poverty is evil. But none of those things are intrinsically evil. Jesus Christ himself was impoverished, jobless, and homeless. Tooth decay is evil, but not an intrinsic evil. But abortion is. There are some things we must never do as individuals or as society, our bishops say, because they are always incompatible with love of God and neighbor. These intrinsically evil acts must always be rejected and never supported. A preeminent example is the intentional taking of a human life through abortion. It is always morally wrong to destroy human beings. A legal system that allows the right to life to be violated on the grounds of choice is fundamentally flawed. And this Tuesday, you have the opportunity to do your part, fix that system. 23% of pregnancies end in abortion. 3,300 estimated abortions per day, and that does not count ones that are done through pills over the counter. 137 per hour, one abortion every 26 seconds, and while you're at Mass today, 137 children will die. You know that number, 3,300 per day. It's approximately the same number of innocent people that died in the World Trade Center on 9/11. Now, if you had president or lawmakers who allowed innocent people to die, 3,300 today, if you had a 9/11 happening every day, would you vote that person into office or keep them in office? You'd say no. They're not doing their job. They're letting innocent people die. But brothers and sisters, that's exactly what's going on in our country. This past week, I filled out my ballot in advance. And I turned it over on the back, and I was reading the long, very lengthy description about fluoride. And two things occurred to me. First, that I'd rather go to the dentist than read this and try to figure out what it means. But the second thing that occurred to me is that where on this ballot do I get to vote for the 1.21 million babies who will die this year? Where's that question? And the only answer that I could come up with in my own head is that when I vote for each of those judges and senators and for the president, that's the only say I have for those 1.21 million babies. We have a moral duty first, brothers and sisters, to get rid of intrinsic evils in this country. Then we can talk about the other evil. But we have to get rid of the ones first that are always and everywhere wrong. And despite what many people think, our president is not intrinsically evil. He's a man. He needs our prayers. He's a child of God. As you prepare for Election Day this Tuesday, I want to encourage you to not vote with an opinion, but to vote with your conscience, and to form that conscience, realizing that there are some evils in this world that are much more grave than other evils in this world.